Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as it is Advent, it's appropriate that our messages for the next couple Wednesdays are going to be about Christ our King. After all, Advent is a time of preparing, not just for the holiday of Christmas, but of a reminder that Christ is our King. This week's message in particular is on the fact that the King's house is safe and secure, and that in our King's house, in the fellowship of Christians, we are safe and secure. Now, when we're talking about kings, it's probably worth mentioning that we're not talking about LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers, nor are we talking about our own members, Lorraine or Isaac King. But we do have to, nevertheless, be careful when we think of Jesus as the King of Israel, because I imagine that for many of you, when you hear the word king, you start to think of fairy tales or medieval castles. Well, in the Old and New Testament, both kings and emperors weren't just filling fairy tales. They actually fought, organized, taxed, decreed, and otherwise ruled the ancient world, kind of like our presidents and do in modern day. Of course, right from the get-go, Israel's kings were different from the rest of the nations around them. In fact, we've got a little guide up here. To start with, Israel didn't even have a king at all, a real oddity in their day. God would periodically remind them, why do you need a king? After all, you've got a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, as we just prayed in our service, to guide you. Who needs a king when God's own spirit comes in power upon Moses and Joshua, the judges and prophets of Israel, allowing them to overcome superior foes with barely a casualty? Kings of this earth couldn't compare with Yahweh, the King of heaven and earth. Well, you may know, God's people don't always quite realize or recognize what he's telling them, and for better and for worse, the Israelites didn't see things the same way that God did. They wanted what the other peoples had, and that meant having a king, an impressive and imposing warrior and leader whom they could see with their eyes and praise. So, after living in the Promised Land for several generations, they complained and demanded of the judge Samuel, give us a king. After Samuel and God gave the Israelites fair warning about the abuses and disadvantages of having an earthly king, they appointed Saul to be their king. Now, Saul started off pretty well, but then he strayed and fell out of favor with God due to his pride and failure to listen and follow God's instructions. So, while Saul was still king, unbeknownst to Saul, Samuel anointed a new king, King David, a man after God's own heart. Now, David was, hands down, the best king that Israel ever had in the Old Testament. Under David, the kingdom was united, not splintered, as it later would become, splitting the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah after the death and fall from grace of David's son Solomon. David was clearly the mountaintop of Israel's history. That's where our Old Testament lesson, the prophecy from the prophet Jeremiah, fits in. Several hundred years after King David's death, Jeremiah is still saying, God declares the days are coming when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, whatever that time may be, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And there we have it. God's promise recalled, which was first given back in the book of, recorded in the book of 2 Samuel. The house of David, the house of God, is like no other house out there. It will endure forever. It is secure. It is safe. Now, this was a promise that God had given, and this was not the kind of promise that was quickly forgotten. This was like a father making a grand promise to his child, promising to be back from a trip in time to be home for Christmas, or to make the next baseball game, even though he had missed the last one. You could take that memory, take the key, turn it, and lock that sucker in, because the house of Israel was never going to forget this promise. In fact, based on the rest of the Old Testament prophets, based on how often they bring this promise up, they didn't just remember it, they were practically obsessed with this promise of God. But hold on, just one minute, there's a teensy weensy little problem here. The house of David is supposed to be eternal, true, secure, as Jeremiah puts it. Unfortunately, following 586 BC, there was no ruling house of David. David's line was supposed to go on and rule forever, but at the time of Jesus, there was not currently anybody from the line of David ruling. The king of Israel, the Messiah, the son of David, was frustratingly, glaringly, gallingly absent. You know, sometimes it feels that way here, too. Jesus has promised that he is our king, that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. That's what Revelations, among other places, tells us. And the church is the city of God on earth. And yet, sometimes it doesn't feel very secure or safe at all. The church steeple used to be the focal point of town. Now, the church sometimes feels more like a forgotten island. The unspoken rules that some of you grew up with are crumbling away. The gracious and loving God who you grew up learning about in Sunday school, for one reason or another, sometimes seems frustratingly, glaringly, gallingly absent. Lord, you said you would be with me through thick and thin, and I'm in the thick of it, but where are you? What's going on in my life, God, and why haven't you fixed anything? Brothers and sisters in Christ, let me assure you of something. Jesus is coming. That's, again, the whole point of Advent. Christ the King has promised that he shall return, and return he shall. He did, however, warn us that this, unfortunately, was how it was going to be. He predicted pain, suffering, and tumult. That's why he came to this world, because it's broken and needs desperately to be fixed and restored. However, he has promised, and we have that promise still today, not just one we're waiting for, the promise of God's presence with us. The church may feel insecure at times. You may feel unsafe. But Christ is our foundation and the rock from which nothing can move us. Jesus often comes to us in unexpected and unlooked-for manners. Just think of his arrival in Bethlehem. His arrival in a stall was hardly befitting the royal reception we would expect for a king. And his ascension to the throne also took twists and turns that were entirely unexpected. The Son of Man must be lifted up, Jesus told his disciples, but they sure did not expect it to be lifted up as a crucified, as a convicted criminal upon a heathen and blasphemous cross. And yet this was how God chose to save his people. The city of God, the church of God's kingdom on earth, is secure, not because we don't have problems or struggles, but because Christ is our King. Since Christ has not yet returned, we just got over the end of the church year, and now we've come to Advent again, and that means that God has graciously chosen to continue to give us and the world opportunities to recognize him before he comes in judgment and glory, to recognize him in his word. He has given us another year, another opportunity to repent of our selfish and sinful attitudes, words, and actions, and to turn to him. And in Christ, when we repent of our sins, we find security and peace that the world cannot give. That security that was first promised by Jeremiah to a then crumbling and collapsing house of David. Even as the writing was on the wall and the Babylonians were knocking on the doorsteps, Jeremiah, who had earlier been giving dire warnings and preaching God's judgment, this same prophet proclaims that God's grace will endure, and so too will David's line. And we know that Jesus is the eternal and living line of David. He is the righteous branch from which sprouted from the rotting line of King David. The promise that hope springs eternally in Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns not only now, but for all eternity. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord our righteousness, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. In Jesus' name, amen.